Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you today to the broadcast. I'm so glad your schedule permitted you to join me and spend these next few minutes together. On yesterday's broadcast, because we are just a very few days away from celebrating and remembering the glorious resurrection of our Lord, which of course was preceded by His great passion and suffering on the cross of Calvary. And so I've just been sharing some scriptures to declare that indeed He is the Lord of life. John 1 and 4 says, "In Him was life, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men." So very simply, I've just been sharing some scriptures about the Lord of life. And I've taken that word life, L-I-F-E, and we've looked at that first letter L as Jesus is Lord. He's author of natural life and of spiritual life. That John clearly declares in the beginning of that gospel that nothing was made, nothing that was made without the Word, without Jesus. He was involved, as was the Father and the Holy Spirit, in all the aspects of creation of this world, as well as the creation of man. And Jesus is the author of spiritual life, because when sin entered the world, or I should say entered the earth through the sin of Adam and Eve, and the earth was cursed, note, Adam and Eve weren't cursed, but the earth was cursed, and they were to have great sorrow. Adam in laboring to bring forth bread, and Eve in being subject to her husband and having pain in childbirth. There were consequences of sin, but even at that moment, the Lord spoke about the heel of the woman crushing the head of the serpent, referring to Satan and all his demons, and this was fulfilled in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So He truly is the author of spiritual life, because when sin entered, man died, and Jesus came to give us life. When we accept Him, we are spirits. We're a tripartite being, body, soul, and spirit. Our spirit is reborn. It is recreated. It becomes new. It doesn't get changed. It is literally birthed anew. That's why Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you must be born again. So let's go on now as a quick review to the I, and that means invincible, incapable of being conquered, not able to be overcome, or to gain the superiority or overpower, to surmount, not able to be subdued, conquered, vanquished, to bring under control or subjection. Jesus was totally victorious, and because He lives, we live also, and we have that same victory. Praise God. And so on yesterday's broadcast, at the conclusion, we were looking at that third letter F, which stands for freedom, and that represents our glorious heritage. Everything that the devil would bring against us, we have been released from. He's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, John 8:36 says. So let's look a little more closely now. He's given us freedom. Well, freedom to serve God, or freedom to serve the devil. You can walk to God or walk away from God anytime you choose. God allows us free will. God doesn't send anyone to hell. Did you hear me? He does not send anyone to hell. People go there by their own choice. They refuse God. They refuse the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. They want nothing to do. They close their hearts, stiffen their necks, close their minds. And so, you know, even in the natural, if you don't want someone to be with you, well, you let them go And God is letting people go to that place which was created for the devils and for Satan himself. So it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of Jesus and everlasting life. But the first freedom we have is freedom from fear. Isaiah 14:3 says, "And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve." Why did God deliver the Israelites? Well, we see in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verses 22 and 23, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my firstborn, is my son, even my firstborn. Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." God wants his children free so that we can serve him. And that was Exodus 7:16, 8:1, 9:1, and 10:3. And then also Proverbs 1:33, "Whoso hearkeneth unto me," referring to wisdom or the Lord Jesus, "shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." Isn't that a marvelous scripture? You might want to write that down. Proverbs 1:33, "Whoso hearkeneth unto me," or wisdom, "shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." Wouldn't you like that? Amen. Just stand on his word. So we have freedom from fear and then freedom from fretting. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing." Psalm 37 begins, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, because of him who prospereth in his way. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." What? "But we're to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, to cease from anger, forsake wrath, and those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." And then also we have freedom from failure. "If any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." That's 1 John 2:1. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And then the Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians 3:13, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." So we have freedom from fretting, freedom from failure, freedom from fear, and the last F I like to share with you is freedom from futility. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." The Lord, beloved, will perfect that which concerns you. He'll bring it to completeness. He'll bring it to fullness. You are not insignificant. You do not exist without a purpose. You're not just living a life of futility and of pointlessness, but God has a place for you in his body. Let's move along now to look at that last and final letter, the letter E, which I'd like to share with you stands for eternal. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, "And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." However, we are not miserable because we have life eternal. It's not just in this life, because Christ, praise his wonderful name, was raised from the dead. And beloved, Jesus is life. He is eternal life. 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Praise God. Just wonderful scriptures to meditate as we draw near to Easter Sunday. 1 John 2:25 says, "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." Isaiah 25:8 prophetically stated, "He will swallow up death in victory," which he did, not only in his own body, but for every believer. Hallelujah. And a time is coming when the last trump shall sound, and all the dead in Christ shall hear that trumpet, and they shall rise even before those who are alive and remain, praise God, before we're changed. Hallelujah. And John 11:25, Jesus was saying to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die." And of course, when he spoke that, he wasn't referring to physical death. Physical death is just the sleep of the body, if you will. But if we believe in Jesus, we shall never die. We will be with him in the untold ages of eternity. So how can I summarize? What can we say in conclusion? Well, beloved, Titus 3:7 says, we've been justified by his grace and have been made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Praise God. And I'd like to share Psalm 63:3. God's loving kindness is better than life. Praise God. When we think about and really meditate on the scriptures that I've just shared with you today, that kind of eternal perspective will cause concerns of this life to diminish. Isn't that true? Praise God. I mean, we're destined for eternity. This time we're living on earth is so brief and so transitory. And as we get close to celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is done around the world in countless Christian churches and denominations in the Holy Land, praise God, we are reminded that because he lives, we shall live also. And I've got a lot of scripture to share, but it's all wonderful. God will revive us. Hallelujah. Hosea 6:1-2 says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. He not only gives us life, he preserves our lives. Psalm 36:3 says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains, and thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Psalm 66:9 says, O bless our God, ye people, make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. So certainly, after having shared all these scriptures, we are to praise God. Amen. We can praise him for life. Psalm 119:175 says, let my soul live and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Praise God. The devil, well, he's the cause of all evil, sickness, and death. Acts 3:15 says, you killed the author of life, speaking to the Jewish brethren of that day, but God raised him from the dead. And because he lives, we can rejoice in abundant life. Praise God. Well, my time is gone. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. I look forward to receiving your emails and your letters, and I'll respond back to you personally. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer. Praise.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.